Thank you so much for tuning in today. My name is J.J. Hendricks, and I'll be taking the helm here for the show for the Friday edition of Mornings for the Master. We've got a couple of announcements that are coming up starting this Sunday at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. We have John McCormack coming in with the gospel meeting, Why I Love the Church. Encourage you to come in if you are in the area. But also at the New Boston Church of Christ, March 26th to the 29th, our very own Chris Grota will be at the New Boston Church. And it's going to be an exciting lesson with a very pretty brochure, a series of lessons. It's The Grace of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And they have an ad on that going on Facebook. We have an ad going on it as on Facebook as well. So if you're in the Mount Pleasant area this week or in the New Boston, Texas area next week, we'd sure love to have you come out for any of those meetings. But by way of other announcements, the list will be updated, and you'll get the new announcements starting on Monday with Monday's show. But today's show, we're going to be going over Judges chapter 9, as well as the first part of Judges chapter 10, talking about the Abimelech's conspiracy, as well as Tola and Jair. So, or Tola. Let's get down there. Tola and Jair. So I was close. I was right. But so glad to have you tuned in today. We're going to start off talking about Abimelech's conspiracy. Let's read through the passage that we find, starting in chapter 9 and verse 1. Now Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and said to them and to the whole clan of his mother's family, say in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that all 70s of the sons of Jerubbaal rule over you, or that one son rule, over you? Remember also, I am your bone and I am your flesh. Verse 3, and his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the ears of Abimelech, or in the ears of all the leaders of Shechem, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows who followed him. And he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the son of Jerubbaal, and 70 men and on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, and for he hid himself. And all the leaders of Shechem came together, and all Beth-Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar at Shechem. So let's talk about what has happened. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, or son of Gideon, depending on your translation, goes to his hometown of Shechem and convinces his mom's family that he ought to be king of Israel. The only people standing in his way are his 70 brothers, and that's no big deal to him. So he kind of foretells what he wants to happen. And he gathers campaign contributions from the men of Shechem and hires, as the King James says, vain and light persons, as the English Standard Version says, worthless and reckless fellows. And they went to help do his dirty works, or as we like to call that, politics. Take some contributions and take people out that you don't like. Abimelech goes to his father's house and massacres his 70 brothers. But one brother escapes, that being Jotham. He was the youngest, and he hides himself, and he avoids the slaughter. So, with his brothers out of the picture, or so he thinks, Abimelech is made king of Israel. So what happens after this? I assume he thinks that he has got it made. He killed his brothers, and I guess he couldn't count very well, missing young Jotham. Starting in verse 7, when it was told to Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and cried aloud and said to them, listen to me, you leaders of Shechem, that God may listen to you. And then he begins to tell a story. Starting in verse 8, the trees once went out to anoint a king over them. And they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said to them, shall I leave my abundance by which God's men are honored and go hold sway over the trees? And the trees said to the fig tree, you, come and reign over us. But the fig tree said to them, shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go hold sway over the trees? And the trees said to the vine, you, come and reign over us. But the vine said to them, shall I leave my wine and cheers God and men and go hold sway over the trees? Then all the trees said to the bramble, you come and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in good faith you are anointing me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So let's look at what happens here. Jotham hears that his brothers are killed, and he goes and tells a story. And here is the rundown of the story to make it a little more concise. Once upon a time, the trees wanted a king, and they asked the olive tree, but he preferred to continue giving olive oil to God and man. So they asked the fig tree, but he preferred to keep giving fruit. So they asked the grapevine, but he preferred to keep giving wine. And finally, the trees asked the lowly bramble to be king. And he answered, he agrees, but warns, if we do this, and it turns out I'm not the rightful king, a fire will come from me and burn down all of the trees. So basically, it went from the greatest tree to the next tree to a vine down to bushes. And it's important for bushes to produce raspberries and berries and things like that. But it's definitely not like a big olive tree or a cedar tree or something like that. So basically, they went down to the very bottom. So verse 16 of chapter 9 says, now therefore, if you acted in good faith and integrity when you made Abimelech king, and if you've dealt with Jerubbaal and his house and have done to him as his deeds deserved, and for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian, and you have risen up against my father's house this day and have killed his son, 70 men on one stone, and have made Abimelech the son of his female servant king over the leaders of Shechem because he's your relative. If you've then acted in good faith and integrity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, then rejoice in Abimelech and let him also rejoice in you. So basically, he spelled out to him that they made a foolish decision. They let the bramble be the king. And, you know, he's like, you know, if my father deserved this, well, let's consider what he did. I mean, he saved you and protected you. And if you did this because Abimelech's great, not just because he's your relative, then rejoice, enjoy, have fun. And verse 20, but if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the leaders of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from the leaders of Shechem and from Beth Milo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and lived there because of Abimelech, his brother. So we look at all what's going on. Jotham gives his interpretation of the story. You men of Shechem have destroyed Gideon's family, even after all he did for you. Abimelech's not the rightful king, and a fire will come out and destroy you. Jotham decides story time's over and does what Jotham does best, and he hides from Abimelech, who never finds him. So that is probably a good plan that we find him doing. So we continue on in chapter 9 of verse 22, and we see the downfall of Abimelech. Abimelech ruled over Israel for 3 years, and God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the leaders of Shechem. And the leaders of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come back, and their blood be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the hand of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And the leaders of Shechem put men in ambush against him on the mountaintops, and they robbed all who passed by them along the way, and it was told to Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, moved into Shechem with his relatives, and the leaders of Shechem put confidence in him. And they went out into the field and gathered the grapes from their vineyards and trod them and held a festival. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and reviled Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech, and who are we of Shechem, that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal, and is not Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? Would that the people were under my hand, that I would remove Abimelech. I would say to Abimelech, increase your army and come out. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. And he sent messengers to Abimelech secretly, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and they are stirring up the city against you. Now therefore, go by night, you and the people who are with you, and set an ambush in the field. Then in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, rise early and rush upon the city. And when he and the people who are with him come out against you, you may do them as your hand finds to do. So let's look at what happened. After 3 years, the men of Shechem are sick of Abimelech and hatch a plan to get rid of him. After failing to get him killed by robbers in the mountains, they team with Gaal, who gathers an army in Shechem and challenges Abimelech to come and get him. But Zebul, the ruler of Shechem, doesn't like Gaal, so he secretly tells Abimelech to come and hide his armies in the fields surrounding the city until morning. Abimelech does just that. In the morning, Gaal looks out of the city gates and thinks he sees them hiding. So we continue on in verse 34. So Abimelech and all the men who were with him rose up by night and set an ambush against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city, and Abimelech and the people who were with him rose from the ambush. And when Gaal saw the people, he looked to Zebul, "Look, people are coming down from the mountaintops." And Zebul said to him, "You mistake the shadow of the mountains for men." And Gaal spoke again and said, "Look, people are coming down from the center of the land, and one company is coming from the direction of the diviner's oak." Then Zebul said to him, "Where is your mouth now, you who said, 'Who is Abimelech that we should serve him?' Are not these people whom you despised? Go out and fight with them." And Gaal went out at the head of the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. And Abimelech lived at Arumah. And Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives, so they could not dwell at Shechem. On the following day, the people went out into the field, and Abimelech was told. He took his people and divided them into three companies and set an ambush in the fields. And he looked and saw people coming out of the city, so he rose against them and killed them. Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entrance of the gate of the city, while the two companies rushed upon all who were in the field and killed them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. He captured the city and killed the people who were in it, and he razed the city and sowed it with salt. Verse 46, when all the leaders of the tower of Shechem heard of it, they entered the stronghold of the house of El-Berith. Abimelech was told that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech went to Mount Zalmon, he and the other people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bundle of brushwood and took it up and laid it on his shoulder. And he said to the men who were with him, What you have seen me do, hurry and do as I have done." So every one of the people cut down his bundle and followed Abimelech, put it against the stronghold, and they set the stronghold on fire over them, so that all the people of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and all the men and women and all the leaders of the city fled to it and shut themselves in, and they went up to the roof of the tower. And Abimelech came to the tower, fought against it, and drew near to the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor-bearer, and said to him, "Draw your sword and kill me, lest they say of me, 'A woman killed him.'" And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, everyone departed to his home. Thus God returned the evil Abimelech, which he committed against his father in killing his 70 brothers. And God also made all the evil of the men of Shechem return on their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. So we look a little bit further. And we see, we're going to go back, after 3 years, the men of Shechem were tired of Abimelech. So Zebul convinced him that he's just seeing things, looking at Gaal, and allowing Abimelech to stage a surprise attack against Gaul's army. Abimelech chases them until they retreat back to Shechem, and then Zebul throws Gaal out of the city, but his army remains there. The next day, Abimelech overruns Shechem, destroys their crops, and kills everyone except those that barricade themselves into a temple of the god Baal-Berith. Abimelech and his men go to the mountains and chop down a bunch of tree branches, which they used to set the temple on fire, killing 1,000 men and women. And this might be a good time to remember Jotham's tree story. So remember they said, if you don't think I'm the right king, then that's not going to be good for you. And it wasn't. So next, Abimelech takes his army to another city, Thebez, and captures it like he did Shechem. This time, the survivors shut themselves in a tall tower in the city, and Abimelech prepares to burn the tower just like he did at Shechem, but as he does, a woman drops a heavy stone off the tower right onto his head. and apparently that was not a good thing at the time. His skull is crushed, and Abimelech knows he's about to die, but he can't bear the embarrassment of being killed by a woman, so he has his servant stab him, which apparently is a little bit better. And everyone gets their comeuppance, and Abimelech's army goes home. So that gets us through chapter 9 with what was going on there. So starting in chapter 10, we see that after Abimelech, there arose to save Israel Tola, the son of Puah, son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he lived at Shamar in the hill country of Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried at Shamir. And after him rose Jair, the Gileadite, who judged Israel for 22 years, and he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they had 30 cities called Havoth Jair to this day, which is the land of Gilead. You know, when we look through the book of Judges, we see a cycle, and it's a cycle that we often still see in people today. We see that in times of great prosperity, people turn away from God and they go and worship other things. But when they are persecuted, they again turn to God, they cry out to God, and God would give them a leader. That leader would lead them out of oppression into a time of prosperity. And in the time of prosperity, they would turn around and turn away from God again. And we see that today. Somebody has a bad time, they come to God. They need the prayers of the congregation, which is good. And they seem to have their act back together, but whenever things get good again, from the bad times, they end up turning right back to where they were, which is unfortunate. So we look at Tola. He judged Israel for 23 years. After him was Jair, who judged for 22 years. And that is all that we know about them. So we consider this book of Judges. We consider the life of Abimelech. He did things the wrong way. He fooled people into doing the wrong things. And the people that did the wrong things ended up not happy with the wrong decision that they made. We find that Abimelech surrounded himself with worthless and reckless fellows. And the life that he lived was not a good one, surrounding himself with the wrong people. He did things the wrong way. And at the end of his life, a woman killed him, or shattered his skull. And to save his own reputation, he had one of his servants stab him through. So Jotham's prophecy about the trees ended up coming true. He told them what they did was wrong, and it was going to come back on them, and it did. In the first of chapter 10, we don't know much about Tola, other than who he was the son of, Puah, and he was the grandson of Dodo. We know that he judged for 23 years, and after him came Jair. We don't know much about him, but he ruled for 22 years. So for 45 years, it seems like, from what we have gathered, they had a rather peaceful time in Israel. And that will get us moved over into Monday's show. The Israelites are going to be under the oppression of the Philistines. We find it for 18 years. They're under the oppression of the Amorites, and they cry to God for help. And well, I don't want to spoil everything for you on Monday. Sorry, the show is a little bit shorter today, so enjoy the music and be ready to tune back in for the show that's going to be at the top of the hour. Thank you so much for tuning in, and let's not make the same mistakes that Abimelech made. Let's do things the right way. Let's surround ourselves with good people, and let's do things the way that God would have us to do them. I love being a member of the New Testament church. When people ask us a question, they ask a question, the Bible question, you give them a Bible answer. If they ask us, why do you do things this way? We turn in Scripture. We find what the Bible says. No more, no less. So you don't care about my opinion, and nor should you care about my opinion. But when we ask a Bible question, we should be able to turn in the Word of God and see that is why we do things that way. There are going to be plenty of people that will try to manipulate Scripture to twist them to their own devices, as 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 states. But we need to be honest in our approach with the book. We need to find what the author's original intent was and do that. You know, an example that we find of poor hermeneutics, and that's the science of interpretation, is you look at a scripture like Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and it says, "Forever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Yet people will turn to that and say, well, that's the sinner's prayer right there. It can't be the sinner's prayer. Because if you look in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias told Paul, "Rise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name." The author's original intent for calling on the name of the Lord involved baptism, and that baptism was for the remission of sins. And some will say, well, that sinner's prayer saves you, and once you're saved, you're always saved. But if you look to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we see not everyone who cries to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only those who obey the will of your Father. And they say, but what about all the good things that I did? I'm going to summarize. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. So people that say, well, all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer, Jesus said that that's not enough. We have to be obedient. We have to do the will of the Father, and that involves doing what the Bible says to do. So I hope this has encouraged you today, seeing that doing things the wrong way does not end up well, and doing the right thing is what ends up right with God, being obedient to his commandments. John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 15:14, you're my friend if you do what I command you. Hope you have a fantastic Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great day, and remember, I'm proud of you.